A65. Number 10A.
Just take up a few other questions that always come up in regard to the levels. And one remark is, or question that comes up is, should we not first work out one level before we go to the next level? In other words, the argument is, well, there is no use to go to the level of absolute Christian Science before you have not perfectly worked out the level of Christian Science. And therefore, don't try to work and go up to the level of science. It's of divine science if you have not worked out the level of absolute Christian Science, etc. So it is an important question, which we would have to answer with no. We cannot really work out one level completely and fully without that we have a touch of the other levels. This is not possible. And we'll see perhaps later on why. But one thing is rather clear. We have said all the levels are one thing and not four different things. Therefore, one aspect of it, like the level of Christian Science, can only be demonstrated fully or understood fully if we have the full, and that's all. We need all four levels really to get a better understanding of the level of Christian Science. We need all four levels really to get a better understanding of absolute Christian Science. We need all four levels in order to have a better sense of divine science. We need all four levels in order to get a good sense of the level of science itself. So that is something that you now would understand. You will hear this question over and over, and somehow you must understand how to answer that question, and answer it not because Max said. I only always hope one thing in my lifetime, that the students that come here don't consider themselves as my students. That's awful. You are not my students. You are a student of Christian Science, you are a student of the textbook, and call yourself that way. Don't call yourself a student of Max. Because Max is not the textbook. Not being. So we study science and we are a student of Christian Science, we are a student of textbook, but not of Max. Therefore, you should not rely on what Max has said. You know, I know how it is. One gets into a discussion with somebody and then step by step gets cornered. And then one doesn't know anymore how to get out of it. And then the only thing one has as a reserve behind it is, but Max said. So that always gives you away because it shows you don't understand it. So try always to understand the statements, you see. And if you don't understand it, well, go into your closet and shut the door and think about it and ponder about it, and even if it takes years and years to find the answer, but once you will find the answer. And with a scientific method, you surely should find an answer. Now, can you see how we reason out a question like this? When somebody comes along, or do you yourself feel, now, I can't really go on to absolute Christian Science because that's the second stage in the ascending order. So before I don't have really a full sense of the level of Christian Science, I would build on sand if I would try to understand something about absolute Christian Science or divine science. Science or science itself. Now that's not so. Why? You can say, how can I reason it out scientifically? All the four levels are about the infinite one. They all are one. There are only four aspects that help us for the human understanding to get some order into our understanding. But they are not four different realms. So they are one. If they are one, then actually every level somehow reflects every other level. So that somehow every level is only complete if it is reflecting all the other levels. It's like in the Matrix, that the word is only a full word when it reflects Christ and Christianity and science. And so also here, we must see that, because we could get frustrated. And I guess this is a bit the case in general, that the students of Christian Science are much too much engaged with the level of Christian Science, namely with the healing aspect of it, and feel, why should I do something more absolute if I can't solve my problems right down here in the relatives, from the relative standpoint? That's not right, you see, because we have seen there is an ascending and a descending way. So let's see that we actually don't stay too long only on one level. That somehow we should be flexible enough and progressive enough that we always somehow lift thought to the higher levels and to the higher level and to the higher level. And if it is only in a visionary sense, if it's only at the beginning some kind of a vision, a concept, a higher insight or a higher touch of it, even if it's not absolutely clear and absolutely defined, just try it. Just go to the other one and say, what will the other levels say? What will they deal with? And so in that way, we always entertain somehow all the four levels in our consciousness. And in this way, it spirals up from one level to the next level. Yes. So the nature of being anyway is that it always pushes us upward. There is always something in being that does not rest until we have reached the goal. See, it is like with the days of creation or with the word order. If you start with mind, there is something there about mind which says, I don't leave you in peace until you go to spirit. And in spirit there is always something there that says, I push you on to soul. And soul says, I push you on to principle. Because we reflect being itself. You see, there is always something within us, if we listen to the divine idea, that always pushes us on and on. From mind to love. From the word over the Christ and Christianity to science. From the level of Christian Science pushes us on and on and on until we somehow touch a little bit of the science level. You have seen that has happened within the history of the last, already about 60, 70 years, that there was a first touch that John Dolly got when he began to see there is order in the days of creation. And from that point on, that idea, not John Dolly, that idea pushed on. See, the idea pushes then on. Because until the idea is complete and perfect, it does not rest. It has a Christ within itself and says, I want to go forward, I want to be perfect, I want to drive it forward and forward and forward until you have found the final solution, until you have found the perfect concept. So the impact, you know, of life that always drives us on and on. And it's only a question of being still within ourselves and listen to that. And being willing not to get rigid, not to get preconceived in our thinking, and not to say, I have to think this way and I have to think that way, but to be kind about these ideas, tender about these ideas, to receive them, to have a conceptive sense of them, and take them in, and listen to them, and nurture them, and value them, and love them, and cherish them. And then something begins to grow within ourselves. More, there is something else that seems to become quite important to spell out. Something similar to what I have been saying right at the beginning of this seminar. We somehow put a lot of stress on study. We know that we have to study this science, the textbook, and the system in order really to begin to understand it. But sometimes I feel that the students are one-sided and just study, and that's dangerous. You know, study is only one aspect of our attitude towards that whole system. The other aspect is prayer. See, perhaps I have too much accepted that naturally the students who do their assignment and work along really the compendiums and the textbook and other books and so on, and study the levels and so on, I have actually presupposed, without saying it, that a student does that in an attitude of prayer, and not just with an attitude of intelligent thinking. The head is not enough. It is a question that we study with prayer in our heart, you know, that we actually contemplate what we study with a very deep sense of awe, of gratitude, see, with a very deep sense of willingness to change ourselves, the third prayer, with a great attitude of the fourth prayer, in prayer, which says, I study that, but I want to be honest about it. I don't want to fool myself by just talking about it and saying what I have learned. Do I really feel it? Is it really my inward attitude? Has it become my whole being? Do I want it to become my whole being? Or do I just want to have a wonderful construction of thought, and that is the danger. See, it's a prayerful attitude, like in the fifth prayer that Mrs. Eddy shows us, that it is an attitude which says, I'm willing really to lay down all my preconceptions I had, so that only that which God really wants me to do is being done. See, it's more, much more is implied. The life attitude is implied here, and not just only the brain thinking attitude. The brain thinking attitude that can somehow speculate on these terms and with these terms and calculate with these terms is just like moonbeams. They never will melt the North Pole. But we have to melt the North Pole, or we don't get anywhere. So we have to have a real heat within ourselves. It must burn within ourselves. It must be a sense that this is the only thing that is of any value. Nothing else is of great value. So that the human life, the mortal life, and all that loses its value. We don't need to lose our job for it. We don't need to throw away our job for it. It's a matter only of evaluation. Where is our heart? Where is our value? Where do we put our our whole future into it. That, these are the things. See, that must be the prayer, so to say, of life, a life attitude, not just a thinking attitude. So be aware and check yourself, you see. Do we actually study this science, that whole textbook, from the standpoint of the textbook? And the standpoint of the textbook is that the cornerstone from where we go out is prayer. And we should never leave prayer behind. If we go to Atonement and Eucharist, don't do it without prayer, or it will be a hell of a job, because we will not have the power to stand the strain of Atonement and Eucharist. So if we go to marriage, do it with prayer. If we go to the fourth chapter, do it with prayer. We never leave the textbook behind. Just as here we have seen, we never leave, say, a level behind us when we go to the next. Never. It is always incorporating it into the next level. So that we cannot say, should we first work out the level of Christian Science and then go on? No. It pushes us on to absolute Christian Science, but when we are in absolute Christian Science, we don't leave Christian Science behind us, the level of Christian Science behind us. And so we always wed all those levels into one. And do it with prayer. You see, every big step forward has its dangers, not only its pros. There is a saying, where there is a lot of light, there is also a lot of shadow. In a way, that's true. Mrs. Eddy says that too. The more we understand truth, the more we uncover error, and the bigger error becomes, because it uncovers more aspects of error. And so it is with science. The more we begin to see what science is, the greater is the danger that we try to get hold of it through thinking, through a mental process, instead of through the process of prayer. Even, you see, if we are studying the seven synonymous terms, well, we naturally can study the seven synonymous terms with our brain, with our thinking. I can have a wonderful list of the ideas of mind and can put them down perhaps in golden letters if we feel they are worthwhile, so we put them down in golden letters or anything like that. It doesn't amount to anything until we really study mind through the ideas of mind through prayer, with a prayerful attitude. What does that mean? If I talk about mind, that mind is the parent mind. Mind is the parent mind. You say that so quickly. Mind is the parent mind. Yeah, it's on the list, you know. So it's true. And I got it out of the textbook. How different this is if I have the same idea and contemplate it from the standpoint of prayer. From the standpoint of prayer, of the whole chapter on prayer, with all those seven wonderful attitudes of prayer, and where I begin to see, oh, mind is the parent mind. And in my first prayer, so to say, or from that first aspect of prayer, I can see, and I want to know that mind is my parent mind. I want to know that with all my desire, with all my heart, with all my intention, so that it is to know God as God is, and I have a deep desire to know that, with a prayer of gratitude in my heart. Do you think what the difference it makes if suddenly gratitude wells up within ourselves that no human parents are my parents, and that it something wells up within oneself that says, how beautiful that is. A whole life past is cut off from me. That life that said I come from human parents, with all its characteristics, with all its law of heredity, with all its past, with all the experience I have made with the parents, with the good and bad experience, both, that's finished. And there's something absolutely wonderful and grateful wells up and says, golly, what a beauty that I come from mind, direct from mind, that I am desired by mind, that I am conceived by mind, that I am expected by mind, that mind wanted me, that I am a wanted child. And you can't help feeling, so to say, that gratitude that we have another parent than our own parents. And that the whole magnitude of divine mind is my parent mind. And I feel blessed through the substance of spirit so much that therefore I have inherited the whole mind of Christ. And that dwells in me. And so you go on, you see, it's not just saying, well, mind is the parent mind. It doesn't mean anything. But if it is received with a prayerful attitude, then it has substance. It has substance. So the prayer of soul would perhaps say to me, the prayer of soul is that which says, so reform, don't sin again. Which says, all right, now I don't want to fall back anymore to the concept that I'm just the same. The child of my human parents. I refuse that. I reject that. With all my heart, with all my gratitude, I reject that sin that I am a child of my parents. I'm not going to accept it anymore. I'm not going to identify myself anymore as the child of my parents. And something quite different of the soul sense just wells up within ourselves and is so grateful for that very fact, you see, that mind is the parent mind, and therefore I'm refuting and refusing to be ever identified with my parents. And so, can you hear, when you know the chapter on prayer, which is the cornerstone of the textbook, the study is then embedded in prayer. And I felt over the last few years very much in various countries or wherever I was teaching, and suddenly I wondered, do the students really study with prayer in their heart, or just out of an intellectual novelty, out of an intellectual attraction? Which is very dangerous, and which may be the case in many students. So, again, be watchful. No? It would be a pity to lose one's energy and time and money that one puts into this study. We'll all lose that just because one is not watchful and cannot quite see where one is. Yes, that's actually not what I want to say about the levels, but it's necessary. Huh? Yes, so another question that comes up in regard to the levels is, when shall I go to the next level? If I shouldn't stay in one level until I feel now I have demonstrated that one level to 100%, well then, when should I go to the next level? Well, it is again that there is an idea within us, there is a motion within us, the Christ idea within us, that tells us, that pushes us. If we are still and loving to our study, if we are really grateful in what we study, if we are really filled with all our evaluation of what we study, that has within itself the seed and the push to tell us, go forward. Just like in Moses' time, they went forth, went there either by the cloud or by the pillar of fire. It was given them a sign when to go forward. And so that Christ fire also wells up within us. That suddenly something within us with all the might pushes us forward to a next step, and it is unmistakable. So it is not a human decision. You see, again, we still ask too many questions that ask for a human decision. Say, well, when shall I take up a new subject? I can't tell it. Nobody can tell it. But if the idea is nurtured within oneself, the idea will tell it. The idea tells you. In all ways and means. The idea has infinite ways and means to talk to us. It doesn't need to be with golden letters on the wall. It does not even mean with a loud voice that suddenly says something to ourselves. It can be the still small voice. It can be an incident that happened. It can be an experience through which we go through that shows us and leads us on. There are infinite ways and means through which the Christ idea talks to us. But we only see the signs of the times when we are well founded in prayer. And everything is still within us. So, that is the answer to this question.